For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I dare you. I dare anyone out there to try and set it up. Go for it.
It also sounds like he's calling from prison.
It's a nightmare. Yeah. Why? This thing is so F, dude. Whatever. And Katie doesn't even have the sound effects to bleep me out. Garbage. Garbage.
It's our show. We do what we want, man. God. Don't even worry.
Are we going? What are we doing?
Oh, we're rolling.
It's the Take 12 Podcast, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it on live. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we rep it for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
Lopez here. I'm here. Wiener Schnitzel is there. Two locations in Western Washington. Go in, let them know the Take 12 Podcast sent you. Get a free hot dog with any other purchase at Wiener Schnitzel. Welcome to the show, everybody. Lofa, I'm not only pissed off about the technology around the podcast, I'm pissed off about our team. People online are pissed off about our team. The Twitter is going off. People want Michael Penix now. They want anyone else now. I don't know. Like, people are mad about everything. They're mad about the quarterback play. They're mad about the time management at the end. The Drew Locke supporters don't know what to do because we saw him play. The Geno, I mean, it's all over the place, buddy. What's going on with this team?
Yeah, well, injuries, adjustments in the second half, or lack thereof, maybe. Yeah. We lost Kenneth Walker. I mean, and you saw how much he mean to the game and this offense when he was healthy. Yeah. He had the oblique strain. Not sure if he's going to make it this week. But Charbonnet came in, and we stuck to the plan. Mm-hmm. And we had success. And he had 10 carries in the first half alone. Brett, how many, if a guy has 10 carries, 30, 40 yards, how many do you think he's getting in the second half?
I mean, at least 10 more. Why not?
He got 4.
Oh, my God.
So it's – and okay, and then you factor in that Geno got hurt with the tricep or elbow, whatever injury it is, and Drew Locke comes in cold. No reps, you know, just, hey, get in there. That's the job of, you know, being the backup. And with a 9-point lead, we proceed to just come out throwing.
Yeah.
I think we maybe got one handoff in there in his time in there. And I don't understand, with a 9-point lead, why not lean on Charbonnet and keep things going on the
ground? Lofa, sometimes our audience – or sorry, not our audience. I love our audience. Sometimes our offense reminds me of that scene in Princess Bride where the guy is trying to outsmart, you know. But he keeps spinning the wine table around, and he's like, but if you think that I'm going to do that, then that means that I'm going to do something else. But then you know that I'm going to do something else. And it's like, so we trot Drew Locke out there, and we got to figure the Rams are going to, oh, they're going to have to run it now that their back is coming out. We say, no, they know we're going to run it, so we'll try to throw it. And then, so we just need a plan, and we need to stick to it no matter what that plan is and no matter who it is. I mean, oh, my God. Run the ball, play defense, and then – well, see, okay, we got to get specific here and start in on one, because I almost just started talking about the refs, and if I do that, we'll be here all day and never even really get going on anything.
We're going there,
so,
too.
Well, we will. But, I mean, just – so offensively, I mean, you know, Zach Charbonnet, he ends up with 15 total carries for 47. Yuck. Kenneth Walker, 4 for 18, but then got hurt. Geno – He's 233 for a touch, no picks. But the injury, Drew Lock comes in, he's ineffective. And for all the Drew Lock apologists that are saying, you know, oh, he comes in cold off the bench, and not that you were doing that, but that's what people are doing online. Look, you're a backup quarterback. You got to be ready to go. Tom Brady came in off the bench, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like I said, it's a tough job. And he didn't, like, I will give him this credit. He didn't have the game plan or the reps all week of, but I didn't have any problem with how he played that throw. It just underthrown. Lockett had a step on the guy. I was the right read. I was like, okay, we're going for it. And I love that out of him. But the bootleg got a guy wide open in the flats and you get it deflected by a little DB like that. That was the one I had issue with. And even probably more so, like, just calling the boot, not a bad decision, but like, we run the ball just to help tick time off the clock. And, you know, and just make them have to throw it, because now they get the ball back. And what did they do? They just ran the ball. Yeah. It was the, you know, like, I've even been critical of McVay at times. He just can't help himself. He just, when he has victory, he wrestles the jaws of victory with defeat. And, you know, he just wants to air it out in times that it's like, okay, you're averaging 5-6 yards a carry. But credit to him, he stuck with it. Royce Freeman made some nice runs. They made enough blocks to spring him free on a couple runs, and they got the job done. And then they walked out of there with the victory.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was, we had that game.
Oh, we had that game, man. And I didn't have us losing both games to the Rams this year, that's for sure. Especially after the way that first game
went.
I figured, you know, we'd want to come back in there and show them what's up. But, I mean, just, yeah, ridiculous. The whole thing, sorry, my computer is glitching out on me. This whole thing is just very frustrating, because when you look back through the schedule, I was trying to go back through our schedule a little bit and into the past a little bit, because, you know, we're 6-4. Your record is what you say you are. However, even some of those wins we squeaked out at the end, the Cleveland one comes to mind. I mean, you know, the record for all teams, I think, can always be sort of the other way, or, you know, you have to win the close ones. Yeah. Wins are wins, but those wins could easily be losses. And I'm just, it leaves me wondering after this last week, and I think a lot of Seahawks fans wondering, Lopa, like, how good is this team anyway, or how bad is this team? Because we just don't get any sort of consistency, and I just don't think you know sort of who this team is at all. You can't really hang your hat on anything.
Well, I mean, that's it. You said consistency. Yeah. Especially at this time of the season when teams are making a playoff push and you have to be playing your best ball, we're just not. And this game was eerily similar to the first game. We go into halftime with the lead. The Rams got nothing going on offense except for that last drive they put together, which what'd they do? They ran the ball to set up play action and a couple throws for Stafford. It's very hard to get wins in this league. Yeah. I don't care what the record of the opponent is. Just being a former player, I know how hard it is down in and down out to stay consistent. But I think where we can point to in terms of consistency, the one area we've been consistent is being penalized.
Yeah. Well, we could go there in a second. I got my computer to work here. I mean, you know, we saw the first game of the year against the Rams. We know what happened there. We went in and we took care of business in Detroit. I mean, that was a great win, just a solid, you know, that's the team you want to see. We take it to Carolina the next week. That's sort of expected there. We whoop up on the Giants on the road. That was awesome to see, but the Giants are what the Giants are. But then it's this stretch where we lose to the Bengals, which it doesn't, you know, Burrow's hurt, but it doesn't look like the Bengals are what the Bengals were going to be. We beat the Cardinals, which is what you should do. And then there's that the Browns one was the 4-point win at the end. Glad to have it, but, you know, you can't say lucky, but, like, that's just one of those that, like, we squeaked that one out. But then the 3-37 against the Ravens, the Commanders one, we got that one at the last second again. So it's similar to the Browns one, and then you have this thing against the Rams. So this last 4-game stretch, even with the two wins in there, I think that's why fans and I feel the way that we do.
Yeah, it's tough. And, I mean, those games could have easily went the other way. And imagine how you'd be feeling.
Yeah, oh boy.
But found a way to do it, you know, get it done. Yeah. And it just we didn't make the kick at the end. And I don't think we did Myers any favor. Shout out to Myers. He's been playing his ass off for the last few weeks. 5 of 5 special team player of the week last week. But I think after DK's big catch, there was still maybe 30 or 40 seconds on the clock. And then I think we handed off just to try to get anything, you know, 4 or 5 yards, make it that shorter of a kick. But that's an opportunity where I'd like to see them go downfield with the ball. Like, make it a chip shot. Because when you go back and look at it, at the kick, it looked like Myers false started on the first when he got iced. I'll go back and get the video of it if you want to see it. But I had a bunch of people text me like, did we false start there? And I thought we did, which would have pushed it back 5 more yards. Well,
keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. And so, you know, like McNeil likes to say, a bad omen in my mind. When I saw that, I was like, oh shit, like, are we ready for this? And then, you know, we get iced and then come back with the opportunity and just pushes it right. And I don't even know if it had enough leg on it. If it was.
Yeah, it was a weird looking. So it went left. It went right. It was kind of fluttering around up there. And I mean,
is it windy in that stadium?
It was crazy windy this weekend, and yes, it was windy in the
stadium. Weird.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering, what was happening with the ball. The ball did move.
But it was remarkably – like, it doesn't normally – it's not windy in California. It was really windy.
Producer Katie was on the scene in the stadium, and SoFi has that roof, but then the ends are open air. So it almost – the stadium is almost like it just has, like, a canopy over the top of it, basically. So if it was windy and it's whipping in through the sides like that, I could see – maybe that affecting it, but
and he was kicking towards where the wind was coming.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know.
Yeah, because he has the leg to go 60 plus.
Absolutely, and they showed him pregame. Yeah. He was making them from further than that kick ultimately was at the end. But my problem, and I think where a lot of fans have a big problem, is the sequence that leads up to the kick, which is, you know, Geno completes the pass to DK. That's great. We have no timeouts. We run down. And Lofa, the Seahawks, and in this instance, isn't the only time I've been watching teams do this for the last couple of years, honestly. The end game clock management across the board in the NFL is just strange. And as a guy who plays Madden avidly, I can tell you that I'm reaching for the timeout button. I'm reaching for the clock at play button on my couch. I'm like trying to hold down square or whatever it is and get my team up there to run it and spike it. And teams don't. Like, spiking the ball, Lopa, and we've talked about it on this show. We've been doing this show for years now. It's almost like a lost art. Like, they just don't really do it. Geno said after the game that the comms were messed up in his helmet, and that's the only time that that happened during the game. Now we are on the road in L.A., and McNasty can fire up the conspiracy machine because I don't think this is the first time the Seahawks comms have gone down in L.A. before against the Rams. I'm pretty sure it's happened before. And he said it's the only time it happened. It happened right after DK caught the ball. They had no communication, or at least he didn't get the play call from Waldron. And so the only play he could think to run was that run to Charbonnet. So he did. He thought he'd get some yards on it. But with the comms down, that's where I ask, why not just spike the ball then? Just spike the ball and run over to the sideline and talk to the guy face-to-face or whatever, or talk to Pete or whatever. So that's worrisome right there. They just didn't spike it, get set up, try to get some more yards for the guy. Because when Myers came in, man, I have to admit, you know, I just sat back on the couch. I was like, there's no way he's making this one. I don't know. It just felt – you could just feel it coming, you know. And they, the way that they took the lead, the way that we couldn't do anything, it just – as a football fan of so many years, I could just feel what was about to happen. And, of course, that's what happened. And I, as a guy who likes to blame Myers, I don't put this one on Myers. It shouldn't have been that long for him. And – you know, Katie lets him off the hook with the win. So, yeah.
Well, I saw it as I had no, you know, nerves or bad thoughts when he trotted out there for the kick, because he made one last week, you know, and I thought, okay, he's just going to go on a streak now. And didn't know about the win, didn't know about the communication, because that obviously was the breakdown in our sequences of plays. Right before it. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but yeah, we right there would love to see them clock it, take another shot either at the sideline or in the middle of the field and then you still have time to you know, spike it, which again. After. Yeah, and then it's a much more manageable kick.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, man, I love Pete to death. I mean, he's been here forever. Can't say enough. I don't need to do all the sort of prerequisites. I mean, we love him, but end of the game and clock management sometimes just gets a little squirrely. And you tell us, and we see Pete in videos and in the locker room afterwards, like, he loves the close games. He loves when it comes down to the end like that. I mean, the one against the Commanders, I think his speech in the locker room was just like, talk about how much he just loves close games. And that's great, Pete. I mean, I would like a 10-point going away victory every once in a while. And, you know, sort of proper sequence at the end, but that's just me.
No, yeah, you want to blow every team out. You know, you want it to be a wide margin of victory. But what he loves about it is just building that belief that no matter how shitty it is, there's a will to win and a way to win and find a way to win. And that's what the good teams do, especially November and December and into the playoffs. So that's really why he loves it. But no, Pete would love to beat everybody by, you know, 10, 15 points.
Plus. Well, I just think for a guy who loves the close situations, I don't know why we mismanage sort of the timeouts and the clock and this sort of stuff as sort of seemingly often as we do in losses. Of course, when it's a win, it's all good and we can forget about it. But when it's a loss, it's easy to sort of dissect and pick everything apart.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think on the defensive side of the ball, man, like, we only gave up 16 points. I'm sure you're going to tell me that the defense played great, except for, of course, one drive at the end.
Absolutely. They were great. Penalties.
I'm trying to stick up for the defense first.
You can't bring it up without talking about defense. Hands to the face, pass interference. That was 47 yards. You know, that's, and to Julian Love's credit, the guy's beat. He's beat you. He's passed you by 45 yards. You have to catch up. This is the 47 yarder, you know? Yeah. He caught all the way up. You got to get get to the man. You earn the right to make an interception, because if he does turn his head, that ball's thrown to him. That's how bad that ball is thrown. I think it was Tutu Atwell was waiting on it. Julian caught up and just got there early. Right. And because it's purely a panic mode situation that, oh my God, I'm beat. I just can't give up this catch. Cause if you don't make that tackle, it's a touchdown. So that's what's going through a player's mind. He runs up though. You get to the guy. Now you look back and locate. And, you know, and if he does that, we have an interception. Willen, another hands to the face. I mean, he's a tall corner. He's got to drop his pads when these receivers drop their pads to make a juke move or a cut. Because once they lower their mass, their center of mass, that's where the helmet is, right where the chest was. And so that's just, you know, we got to be disciplined there. And then – Spoon's pass interference, I've watched that thing like five times, and I still haven't seen.
Puka tripped off over himself, basically, or over Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, he tripped.
There's something before sort of that action with Spoon that I think is what ultimately had the penalty.
Yeah, and then, you know, that gives him first down, you know, at the one or the two, because it's in the end zone. So it's just they played their ass off. Just the run game in the second half, you know, and it wasn't just the same run. So that's what's kind of alarming. As I texted you, I was like, all right,
yeah, the run game,
you know, like, they, maybe we weren't expecting them because they were playing, you know, from a 2-score deficit, but they came out and did it. And I think that's what is most concerning going forward, as we see, like, the Niners, who had a lot of rushing yards against us last year.
Yeah.
The Eagles, the Cowboys, who like to run to set up the pass. We have a real test coming up. I don't know that we've seen any teams like this in the first part of the season.
Oh yeah, man. No, this week is going to be tough for sure. I wanted to, so, but okay, we're not going to change the refereeing in the NFL, you and I. Like, we don't sit in those rooms. We're not on a competition committee, all of the above. The rules are set the way this they're set, and the players have to play under them. We understand that. But it is complete bullshit. I mean, just sitting on your couch, it's complete bullshit. I get the bleep button ready, whatever kind of shit you want to say it is. I mean, Lofa, what happened to the 5-yard, 10-yard, 15-yard face mask penalty? The 5-yard wouldn't be a first down in most situations. It shouldn't be an automatic first down when you reach up and, you know, nick a guy's face mask. Give me a break. They're wearing pads. I mean, these are penalties that wouldn't even be fouls in the NBA. And they're calling them in the NFL, a physical, you know, contact sport. I mean, the fact that we watch football now as viewers, and after every play we look at the bottom corner of the screen for a flag, is pathetic. It's not a sport. It's not a sport. The referees get more screen time than some of the players. It's just not – it's not the kind of sport that I want to watch. Like in that way, it's the game is different than it's ever been. And like I said, it's different for everybody. So we have to adjust, but the product and the way that we watch it has completely changed. And I don't know if it's for the better. I mean, I like physical play. I, you know, if a guy gets his hands to a face, but the receiver still gets that release and it was on the other side of the field and the ball didn't even go there. And I mean, can we talk about spirit of the game at a certain point when we're talking about rules? What's with the spirit? Where is the spirit of the game when it comes to interpreting these rules and making these rules in the first place?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, a holding call could be called every play.
Totally.
Every play if you wanted to. But if it doesn't affect the play, even watch one last night in the Monday night game, guy was on the opposite side getting held. The guys on the front side didn't even have a chance to make the play. And it was like a 15-yard run. So if it didn't really affect the play, like, keep that flag in the pocket. Yeah. And I just, you know, it's crazy, though, because I had to go back and look. And I think we have been one of the most penalized teams in all of football, you know, under Pete's watch. And even when we won the Super Bowl in 2013 and then went back to Super Bowl in 14, we led the league in penalties. And so we have to find a way to fix that, because I don't know if we're more scrutinized because of our physical brand of playing or what it is, but even when I was coaching, we were like, why do we keep getting called for all these penalties? So it's something that we have to get fixed. Otherwise, I don't know if we have the talent that we did in 13 and 14 to make a deep playoff run if we don't get this thing fixed. But I will say to this, we had 12 penalties, however many yards, 130. They had 9 for 92. So refs, they didn't let them get away with a whole lot more.
Yeah, well, okay, but let's wave a magic wand and you're commissioner of the league. What do we do about this kind of thing? Because the ratings are always going to be up. The money is always there for the NFL. They print money. So it's not like they have to make a change because their like actual product is hurting or that people are turning the TV off or anything. But just like, it's not great, man. I mean, like, you watch the Monday night game, that the roughing the passer, Fletcher Cox to Mahomes towards the end of the game. I mean, you can't push a guy down anymore or whatever. Or and it depends on who the quarterback is. It depends on who the referee is. I mean, so Lova, you're commissioner of the league. You got all the player safety concerns and all the things that they have to deal with. But then, like, you got these referees and you got these penalties deciding the outcomes of games or possibly deciding the outcomes of games. You got frustrated fans. Like, how do you fix it in a game that is what football is? It's physical. We want it to be physical.
Yeah, I don't think we have full-time officials yet. And that's kind of crazy for a several billion-dollar industry to not have a very integral part of your company full-time employees. So I'll have McNasty check, you know, see if that's changed. But for the longest, we haven't. So I don't think those guys are full-time. Yeah. So that's one place to start. But other, like, it's just, yeah, even Kareem Jackson, the poor kid, he got suspended 6 games for, like, 3 hits.
This is a Bronco,
and then he comes back. First,
yeah, the Bronco player.
The Bronco safety,
had a bunch of hard hits, but now they're suspending him. And almost he's being labeled almost like a dirty player.
They just suspended him another 4 games that just came down yesterday. And the hit that he had was a football hit. And he hit him in the chest. Did he leave with the crown? Yeah, he did. Okay. He hit the guy in the chest and forced a fumble that changed the outcome of the game. We're talking about critical plays here. It's I see all these safeties pulling up on the deep throw down the sideline because they're not sure what to do. And like now you just have to let the guy catch it, because if you hit him, first of all, 15 yards tacked on. If he catches it, you get like a 70-yard play now instead of a 55-yard play. So changing field position. But then also, you get ready for that FedEx fine, man. It's coming. In your locker, that'll be sitting there, you know, waiting for you. And, like, it's like 50. Every time it goes up, it multiplies, you know.
I'm still saying, I want to know where those fines go, because to me, they should go to the Alumni Association or former players or guys dealing with health stuff after they played, guys who took the hard hits for all those years that weren't legislated out of the game. Take all the fines that they're racking up now and give it back to those guys. Or so I don't, you know, something. I hope they do something useful with those fines, because I don't know where they go. Yeah, man, I don't know. I think, you know, I find myself just sitting on the couch, late game situations, yelling, throw it deep and tell the receiver to fight back for the ball. I mean, that's like one of the best plays in football right now. You know, why catch it clean?
It's very underutilized.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's a mess. It's a mess. I find it. It's just because it's not just for the Seahawks game. It's when I watch the other games too. I mean, I find myself, you know, I don't know, rooting for like these other teams and players in a way that I shouldn't, just because the penalties are going in a way that it's like I'm rooting against the refs when I watch these other games. It's strange. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, boy. Well, okay, so we're doing one episode this week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Thanksgiving week. We have a very special Thanksgiving episode coming out a little later in the week, but we pre-recorded it. So let's talk a little bit of some Niners, because they're coming up Thursday, primetime, Thanksgiving night, big-time game. We played the Niners on Thanksgiving night before, and this is another big one. I mean, we're 6-4. They're obviously on top of the division where we want to be, and we got to take it to them. So, I mean, what do we got in store for the Niners, Lofa? How are we going to stop their run game?
I mean, we got to commit 8 to the box, and I mean, that means you're going single coverage outside with Ayuk and Debo and Kittle, which, you know, but we do have the guys to match up with those guys. And I think the most concerning guy is McCaffrey, you know, not just running the ball, but a simple check down, he can take, you know, 30, 40 yards in the blink of an eye. So, they thrashed the Jaguars coming off that bye week to get out of their slump. They beat the Bucs pretty handily. I think Purdy had a perfect passer rating, first time since Joe Montana did it. Yeah, it's pretty good company. Just incredibly efficient. He was 21-25. You know, they find a way to get these guys open, which isn't hard when you got all these stars and you have to, you can only commit like the single coverage because you got McCaffrey in that run game to worry about. So a number of problems they present on offense. I just think defensively, not even worrying about Purdy and getting after him in terms of like making him uncomfortable. The guy, he's been pretty poised back there, but I think stopping the run will give him the biggest issue. So we do that, then you earn the right to pass rush him, but it won't happen unless we get turnovers. We need at least 3 or more turnovers to win this game.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, check that. To be in this game, we need 3 turnovers. To win this, might be 4 or 5.
Wow.
I'm dead serious when I say that. When I say that, that's what's going
to happen. Wow. And then this stretch too. You know, we got the Niners, like, so that's obviously going to be a tough game. You got the Cowboys after that, then the Niners again. How's that for NFL schedule, maybe?
Fucking brutal, man. That's murderer's row, man. But you got to take it one game at a time. This game alone right here is what will set the tempo for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because, right, 6 or 7 games left, whatever it is, don't look ahead. Get this win however you can. And field goals aren't going to beat this team. They're too strong on offense. So we have to convert in the red zone offensively. Don't think Walker's going to play. Haven't heard the final on Geno. It looks like he might try to go. But Charbonnet, man, I lean on him. I mean, he runs physical downhill the way we want. It's very rare to see a tackle for loss on him, which, you know, so even if it's a 1 or 2 yard gain, that puts us ahead of the sticks, the yard markers. And now we can still call a normal game, We don't have to worry about a super far downfield play, you know, because we're second and 15, second and 18. Those are horrible situations you don't want to be in. So to find our rhythm, we have to lean on Charbonnet and the quick passing game and just get whatever we can. Because we have the athletes, too, that can, you know, take a short pass and go 15, 20 yards themselves.
Well, if you get through the Niners, Cowboys, then the Niners again, waiting for you on the other side, that's the Eagles. So these four games, these four games, man. But, you know, like you just said, I mean, these are also four games that if you go handle your business, if you go turn it up, if you go whatever you want to say after these four games, it's where the whole country and all the media and everyone's looking at you going, wow, look at the Seahawks and where they came from. Because, I mean, dude, have we ever played the Niners twice in 3 weeks? This is sort of unprecedented territory here. And I'm excited to see how we handle it. But I'm also nervous, too.
No, yeah. Yeah, you win a couple of these, the confidence is there to go out and play anybody.
Absolutely.
You know? And so just take it one game at a time, one snap at a time. But I know Hurts preaching, hey, rip that ball from that, you know, ball carrier any chance you get. It has to be a point of emphasis for this game and going forward just to give our offense more opportunities.
Okay. We got tickets for that game, everybody, by the way. If you want to go to the – right, producer Kate? Where's producer Kate here for me? Yeah, right?
Where's Kate?
Right, we have tickets, don't we? To the Thanksgiving game?
We got tickets.
Oh, yeah, we got tickets.
Yep.
Epic Seats, come on, give it to us.
Epic Seats is generously giving away tickets to every single home game this season. You've seen Lofa's quote. You saw him put that wig on. If you want Lofa to be blonde, like that. maybe we need an awkward quote in there sometime, Lofa. You got to be sure to follow Epic Seats and follow the Take 12 podcast. We select a winner from whoever guesses the movie quote correctly, and the winner is going to be announced later today. So we don't have that yet, but Epic Seats, everybody.
Stay tuned.
If you are buying or selling tickets, you get $12 I need to calm down. If you're buying tickets, use Epic Seats. If you mention the Take 12 podcast, you will get $12 off, 12% off of your purchase. And if you are selling your tickets, you get a $12 bonus for every single ticket that you sell. So for some reason, if you want to get turkey with your family instead of the stadium, make sure you sell them through Epic
Seats. Yeah, there you go. Everybody, EpicSeats.com. Nobody beats
EpicSeats.com.
Yeah, special Thanksgiving Day game, everybody. If you want the tickets, join the contest. And Lofa, I mean, we talk a lot of football on here. We got to talk acting here for a second, buddy. You are killing it with these clips and putting in some work. That actor strike is over. You're like, watch this. I'm going to try to get in that union. It's awesome.
Pick me.
I love it.
It's just fun. It's nerve-wracking coming up with the scenes.
Yeah.
Because I always lean towards, you know, funny. Yeah. I don't know. I love comedy. But, that was my first dipping my toe into the drama serious, even though it was kind of hilarious.
I love it. You guys, when we first started this show and we got the Epic Seat sponsor and they said, hey, you guys can give away tickets, we thought, okay, great. We'll just, you know, have a little contest here. Just say, hey, email us if you want some tickets. Lofa goes, no, I'll say a movie quote. People can guess the movie quote. Okay, fine. Smash cut, a couple years later, he's throwing on wigs and costumes and setting up lights in his house. You guys got to see these little clips.
Whoa, whoa. There was no lights set up.
Oh, he's got a director. He's got a cinematographer.
I'm the director.
Yeah?
Actor.
No, that's not what I heard. You got makeup people coming. I heard you got all of it.
I don't do makeup, all right? But no, my son, Kai Tatupu, he helped me. He has this little program. He has like three screens. He's a big gamer. I was like, yo, I'm trying to piece these fucking things together. Like, how do you do it? And he was like, oh, just send them to me. I sent it to him literally like 7 minutes. He's like, is that good? And I was like, it's the fucking best thing I've ever seen.
Wow. Wait, does he want to join on a podcast? We got
he's
we
tired.
Got some things he can do around here.
So he'll be filming my next two.
All right.
I got one in mind that is going to be awesome. I'm gonna try to really go all out for that. For that one, I might even hire a production crew.
But, it doesn't sound like you need one. You got
one. But then I'm trying to think about the other one. What's challenging because you have to fit them. I'm trying to keep them like 16 seconds or less because that's what like going to catch attention is quick in and out. But yeah, when we got Epic Seats, they were generous to give us the tickets. I thought, I was like, hey, you know, what could be a fun way, at least make these people work for these
Absolutely.
Tickets. I mean, it's a prime time Thanksgiving fucking matchup. Like, come on. You better at least know this.
I love it, man. And the comment sections pop off over there. I think the one on Instagram is already up over 100 people joining the contest and stuff like that. So we love you guys out there.
It's like 300.
The engagement's awesome. The audience over here at Take 12 is just growing. We love you guys for that. This is where I'd normally hit my ending theme song, but Katie has her hand in the air. Go ahead, Katie.
Lofa, did you have that wig already?
No, I borrowed it. Shout out to Hot Carl, one of my basketball buddies. I saw him dressed as Joe Dirt, so I was going to do the firecracker scene. Hoosker do's, Hoosker don'ts. But then I was like, you know, I got to reach back. This is an epic game, Epic Seats. So go, you know, I dug into the archives. Actually, you know what? I just asked fucking Google. I was like, yo, movies with mullets. And, you know, I don't want to say the name because the contest is still going. But I saw my guy Kurt Russell rocking that hair, yeah. And I was like, oh, this can kind of be Kurt Russell.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Nice. Awesome. I love it. Oh, my God, you guys. Get out there. Enter the contest. Join in the fun over here at Take 12. If you want to send us an email, you can do that, too. It's SeahawksPod@gmail.com. There's also the score prediction challenge. We do that each and every game, whether it's a home game or an away game, and that is brought to you by our friends at Simply Seattle. It's a collab with them. So find the score prediction post and predict the score, and you can win a gift card to Simply Seattle, which that pot is growing. I believe it's up to $100. Did they produce your Katie? Yeah. No, nobody yep. said 16 to 70. Yeah. So, and most of our listeners predict Seahawk wins. So when it's a Seahawk loss, it makes it a lot easier to comb through the predictions. Over there. That's it for us though today, everybody. We're out of time, and I'm assuming the theme song's going, and so I'm wrapping it up. Lofa, any more quick thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, what's your score prediction?
Oh, okay. Well, oh boy. Okay, well, this worked at the beginning of the season, everybody. This worked at the beginning of the season, so you have to take it for what it's worth. Oh. And take it with a little of that grain of salt and a little bit of that tongue-in-cheek. I'm going to have to go back to it here. The Seahawks right now, my confidence level in the Seahawks is pretty low. I'm sorry. It just is. That's how it goes. I'm being honest. I'm going to take the Seahawks. You know what I mean. But officially here on the show, I'm going to give this one to the Niners 13 and the Seahawks 12. It's an appropriate number for us, and I can't give them too many more points than us, so there you go. They get a lucky 13, and we get a very lucky 12 on Thursday night. Lofa, how do you see it shaping up?
I am going Hawks 19, Niners 16.
Nice. Yes. That's a Seahawks score.
I don't know how either is going to get to those numbers. Yeah,
there Dude, it that is a primetime Seahawks score right there. Well, we hope you guys enjoy it. Enjoy your families. Deep breaths, everybody. If you know you have one of those dramatic Thanksgivings, just deep breaths. Don't worry, you'll get through it. It's only one day. Have some dark meat and some stuffing, and you know, watch some football. For Lofa and Katie, I'm Brett. That's the Take 12 podcast. Hands in the middle, everybody. Let's break it down. Lofa, don't send it back my way. It's your turn.
Katie.
Charbonnet.
I like it.
Charbonnet?
I like it.
Okay.
All right.
Get it, Katie.
Thanks, everybody. You make sure you get your gravy. Make sure you got your potatoes all ready to go. All right. We got a turkey of a game. We got a great team here. Turkey. Charbonnet. Charbonnet's going to get us through. He's going to find the way. Charbonnet is the way. Charbonnet on me. 1, 2, 3.
Charbonnet.
I
like that.
Hell yeah. That could go great with our Bobo Mojo shirt.
Hey!
It landed today, everybody. Sorry, I know the show's over, but hopefully they get this in. Pretty sick.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.